Ephesians chapter 3. Let's all stand as we can. In chapter 3, we're not going to read a lot. Verses 14, well, maybe 14 through 21 is necessary. This is one of the great verses in the Bible. Y'all hear me say that all the time, but it's just true because it's a great book full of great verses. Paul says this. He said, "For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Precious Lord, we come to you this morning thanking you, Father God, as Minister Truman said, thanking you most of all for dying on the cross. Father God, if you had not died, Father God, we'd all be still on that wide road heading to hell. But glory be to God, you died and you rose again. And we say thank you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Oftentimes, this time of year, and this is going to be interesting because, you know, I want to teach, and I want this to be educational because we do this. At least I do it, and we do it in our family, and we gather in a big circle every Thanksgiving, and before we eat, we all talk and ask each person go around the room and tell them what's going on in your life, what are you thankful for. And you will get a lot of the childlike prayers from the children, and they sort of copy off each other. I'm thankful for mommy, and a lot of them say daddy, but for mommy and grandma, and for a lot of things going on. And then we get to the adults and the young adults, and I think this becomes troublesome. And again, sometimes we have to examine ourselves and let the scriptures examine us where we are in our faith. We get to the young people and they're a little nervous about it and they won't say nothing. And I think this is a dreaded time for a lot of young adults. Shouldn't be. The Bible says a young man and woman ought to be strong. You can be as strong as you're ever going to be right now. Okay. And it's troublesome. So you know, we get to the adults and we start talking about, you know, what are you thankful for? And I'm talking to saved folks. Okay, I'm talking to saved folks. This is written to the saints, okay? And what are you thankful for? And we thankful for our families, and that's a good thing. You're thankful for our family. We thankful for our jobs, and we thankful we got warm water, and we thankful for our health and things like that. But Paul had a different spin on it, and I think Paul said somewhere in Scripture, I believe in Philippians, he said, "Follow me." He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." So Paul should be our example. So when we look at Paul's prayer, when we look at what would Paul want us to pray, or how would Paul want us to pray, I believe we find it in Ephesians 3 and 14 through 21. We have three appeals, and you'll see them there. Paul's appealing to these people. He's saying, "You follow me." He said, this is what you need if you one day plan on standing before the Lord. You have to have these things. So when I looked at Ephesians 3 again, I found some really interesting things in it. And I just want to share with you guys just for a little while. So we look at Paul's prayer. And Paul said, you know, you need this. Here's what you need to have. And here's how to get it if you plan on standing before the Lord. And I know all of us are planning on standing before the Lord. Paul said, you must possess these things. You must not only possess them. If you don't have them, you ought to be begging for them. You ought to be begging for them. We ought to be begging people. Okay, we ought to be begging people. So Paul said, first of all, I want to thank the Lord. Paul said, I really want to thank the Lord that I'm not who I used to be. Okay? He said, I want to thank the Lord because I'm not what I used to be. Or I'm not who I used to be. You know, Paul was a reckless man and an evil man and a mean man. He hated the Christians. You know, I got a few verses here. It says in Acts 8 and 3, it's talking about Saul. His name was Saul before it was Paul. And he says, and as for Saul, Acts 8 and 3, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Paul had an agenda, and he had the backing of the government of that time to go into the houses, and anyone who praised the name of Jesus, Paul could throw him into jail. He could throw him into prison. I thought this was interesting. Philippians 3 and 6 concerning zeal. Paul had zeal. How many know we wouldn't say we had zeal? We had zeal for the devil. We had zeal for this evil world. I mean, let me just be honest. You know, and now I would compare our zeal that we had in the world compared to the zeal we have for the things of God. How's that work? Is it close? Paul said concerning zeal, I had it, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul thought he had it all together and that the law was the only law and there was no Jesus Christ. I don't want to hear about no crucified Savior. Watch what Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:13, one of the great verses in the Bible too. For who was a blasphemer? Paul said, I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. Then he says this, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly. And Paul would say, I thank God that I am not what I used to be. Okay? I thank God that I'm not the man that I used to be. I'm not the man that I will one day become. But I know when I look back on my life, I am not the man that I used to be. And Paul said, you need this, folks. You need to thank God for that. And Paul says in verse 14 and 15, for this cause, this is the cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now listen, folks. Listen, there ain't no, when we get to heaven, there ain't no Republican Christians and Democrat Christians, okay? Paul says, listen, your name needs to be in that book, okay? Paul said, your name needs to be in that book. He said, the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And who's over that? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ. So when Paul says, my people, okay, some of y'all automatically think about that great verse in 2 Chronicles. I see Deacon Oliver, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Paul, there was no black or white or there was no Democrat, Republican, whatever. Paul says this, not Paul, but the writer of Chronicles said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. That ought to resonate with us. When we think about what's going on in our world, when we think about what's going on in our land, and all God is asking us to do is what? Turn from our wicked ways. And he's talking about the church. Oh, he's talking about the people of God. We got some wicked ways. Am I the only person in here got some wicked ways? Okay? No, we all got some wicked ways, and we ought to be in a constant turning. Constantly turning. So we're trying to turn, and we ought to be pleading with God. Turn me, Lord. Turn me from this, turn me from that, because we're constantly in this world we live in being bombarded by all types of craziness. Here's these appeals. Paul's first appeal is for strength. Amen. How many folks need some strength? Amen. And we out here fighting. We got spiritual enemies. We got afflictions. We got hardships. We got pain. We got misery, misfortune. Somebody said, well, what is misfortune? You know, a lot of things happen we just can't explain. And things are going to happen. You know, I talk about Glorice, and she had a car accident, totaled her car, and hurt her leg, and that's just misfortune. Okay? And many of us, as we get older, I look back at it, you know, we didn't total some cars. Okay? You know, and she's going to be better because of that. See, a lot of times we don't look and we don't see God in everything. She'll be a better driver because of that accident. Okay? How many have been in an accident and now, because of you've been in the had a misfortune, you better at it. Now, a fool will get in a car accident, whether it's your fault or not, and act like it never happened. Okay? But we out here being harassed. As Christians, if you stand it for your faith, you're gonna be harassed. Bullying didn't just start a couple years ago. Okay, Christians always been bullied. Okay? Well, what we do now, nobody know we Christians, so we don't get bullied because we Christians anymore. Nobody know we Christians. We dealing with some stuff. Here's Paul praying that God would give you that inner strength to battle. You need some strength to battle. Okay? I take some pies and donuts and stuff out to the prison. And I thought about this the other day. You know, because once I feed them all this bread and all these bagels, then they start fighting. And I'm like, am I strengthening them to fight? I just think about it. Like, you know, maybe I ought not feed them. And they won't fight so much. They need energy to fight. And they call me and say, Chaplain, you got any bread? You got any bagels? And I'm like, yeah, I'll send y'all some things up. Next thing you know, after about a half hour later, you know, they... I'm like... Then the officer's like, Chaplain, you know, I'm not sending no bread to that unit today. Paul dealt with some stuff. Paul dealt with some stuff. And I thought this was interesting because when we start talking about the battle and having that inner strength, we going through some stuff. If you in this room and you ain't going through something, then you just out of touch. Okay? You just on a wide road and does nothing bothers you. You know, you can sit here and say, I'm a bad man, nothing bothers me. You know, be like Ali. Ali, Muhammad Ali was on the plane and the stewardess on the plane said, you need to put your seatbelt on. And Ali said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And the steward said, Superman don't need no plane. So we think we don't need no strength. Yeah, we do. We need some strength. Because if the Apostle Paul, at the height of his apostolic ministry, was going through, watch what he said in Romans 7:22. Stay with me now. For we know, Paul, now this is Paul, this is not Saul. This is Paul as an apostle writing in Roman to the saints of Rome. Paul says this, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. This is apostle. Okay, this is not some run-of-the-mill guy on the street just going from club to club. This is the apostle who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament going through, showing us how to deal with it. And then he says in verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwell in me. Amen. We got sin dwelling in us.
Amen.
Okay? For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Jesus said, flesh and blood will not. If you fleshy and you in the flesh and you die in the flesh, guess what? Flesh and blood will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So you show up at the gates of heaven with your flesh suit on. You can turn on around. Listen, 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, want to do right, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Come on, Paul, help us. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Everybody understanding this? Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwell in me. Now watch Paul. Paul said, But I find then a law. Then when I would do good, evil is present with me. Well, how we deal with this, Paul? How are we gonna deal with this, Paul? Because this is every man's battle and every woman's battle, okay? Paul said this, for I delight, that's a large word. Mm-hmm. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Not the outward man. See, the outward man is always wanting that flesh to feel good, and then, you know, we're emotional, and we just need to feed this flesh. Amen. But Paul said, I'm going to delight in the law of God after the inward man. I'm going to feed this spirit in me. Amen. I'm going to feed this spirit in me. See, some of us delight in you get you a nice, elegant preacher, and we get some delight, and we just like to hear the preacher, you know? Then we just love the music. Then we just love the church and what the church is all about. You hear people talk about their church. Oh, I love my church. Oh, I love my church. Listen, folks. Some delight to hear. Okay? Some like hearing. Herod like hearing. Herod loved John the Baptist. Bible says he loved John the Baptist. He heard him often, but didn't do it. See? Okay? Some delight in hearing, but they don't delight in doing. Paul delighted after the inward man, and that kept him from doing the things that the outward man would call him to do. You got to beat that outward man. You got to starve his flesh. And it is hungry all the time. Ain't that flesh hungry? We think about Thanksgiving now. Some of y'all think about dressing. Macaroni and cheese. Oh, I hope he just put some extra cheese in it. Give me a nap. Here's our second appeal. Y'all get the first appeal? Paul, that first appeal was that, folks, listen. If Paul was praying for to stand up here and pray, he would say, listen, give me strength for that inner man. Strengthen my inner man because I need it, because I'm out here battling these devils and these demons every day. You need that strength. You want to pray for somebody? You want to pray for me? Pray for the pastor had inner strength. You ain't got to get all long and drawn out. You know, you think about the pastor, see somebody with a bald head, you know, see somebody driving a Prius, see somebody, you know, that look like me. You know, you see Mr. America or somebody on TV. Think about your pastor. All right. Trying to keep you woke. I need strength. For the inner man, all of us do who don't. Nobody's hands gonna go up. You know, we need that strength. This is the second appeal. Paul says this. Now watch this second appeal in verse 17. Paul says this, that Christ, you know, he's praying now for his people. He's praying, he said, for this cause I bow my knee. He said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Now this is the prayer. This is the prayer that God would dwell in our hearts. How? By faith. For by faith, faith cometh by what? Excuse me now. Let me get it right. Okay? Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved. How? Through faith. And not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Why not of yourself? Paul just told you in Romans 7. Because in us dwelleth no good thing. You can't get yourself together. There's nothing in you that's going to reach out to the things of God. Because we have got a sin nature. And until God gives us that Ezekiel 36, that new heart. Okay? We're going to always gravitate toward sin. Because that's what our sin nature do. Now, you know, the Catholics will say, well, you know, bring the baby to the priest and we'll sprinkle him with water and wash away all that original sin. Let me tell you something. When babies start growing up, you're going to need some axe in some shower gel and everything, because that original sin is going to show back up, because you're going to start getting funky and stanky. Because why do we get funky and stanky? Because we are dying. This flesh needs to be washed and scrubbed, because our skin is dying daily. And if we don't, we're going to stink. Now, listen. You go down to the place where you get your birth certificates and all that, and you need a birth certificate, or you need a death certificate. I forget the name of the place downtown. What's it called? Courthouse vital statistics, over there where the old Southside Hospital is. You know what they have in the basement, down in the basement of there? They have a morgue. Okay? They have a morgue. Now, this is what happens. If they find somebody that's been dead for a few days in a house, and they take it to the morgue, you know them folks in working that building get 3 to 4 hours off? Because the stench, the fumes, the stink of that place rises up. Them folks can't even stay in the building. Them folks can't even stay in the building. Okay? See, that's what that old nature does. And symbolically, if you don't get saved, if you don't ask God to give me that new heart, as you get older and older, you're going to get stanky. Ain't nobody going to want to be bothered with you. You know folks like that? Nobody want to be bothered with them. Okay? Been in sin so long, you get around saved folks, you can smell them. Okay? Then we get in a relationship with somebody unsaved, and which should never happen. We tell the story, you know, let's not be unequally yoked. I think Caitlin was explaining that. We get unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Listen, a clean animal, okay, can't get yoked up with a non-clean, unclean animal. Because the clean animal is always going to be turning away from it, because the unclean animal breath stank. That's just the truth. That ox or that bull, that's a clean animal. So you hook a bull up with a donkey, and that donkey like eat anything stank. And the bull, the ox always gonna be going this way, because he's a clean animal. See? See, Taylor, when them unclean boys come at you, you can't see. Okay, you stank, boy. Spiritually. Let me give you this verse. It's worth reading. Because sometimes we forget we need a new heart. You need a new heart. And if you in here today and you haven't got one, you know, God, he give you a new heart. You sit on your knees and say, God, give me a new heart. He's the first open heart surgery. He, you know, people say, this guy was the first open heart. You know, God been opening hearts and doing heart transplants for a long time. Okay? Look at that in Ezekiel 36:25. I'm just going to read. You don't have to turn there, but it's there. Write it down. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness. And from all your idols, I will cleanse you. This is what the Lord will do. He was doing it in the Old Testament. He's still doing it. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. See, when you get the heart, you get the spirit too. You just don't get the heart and the spirit come later. Some folks teach that. You know, I got to get a second blessing. No, you get it. It's a package deal. You get a new heart, you get a new spirit, all in one. Okay? Well, then nobody says, well, you got to tarry for the Holy Ghost. No, you get a new heart, you got the Holy Ghost come with it. Okay? Not like some of the toys we buy for Christmas. You buy the toys and, you know, oh, I'll find out they ain't need batteries. Christmas morning. Well, you ain't playing with that till Monday. A new heart also will I give you. Listen to that. That's good stuff. Will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you in heart of flesh. New heart. New heart. I thank God for my new heart. You know? New heart. Thank you, Lord, for my new heart. You know? And then it says this. Let's watch this now. Don't miss this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love. How about that? That's a tough one. That's a tough one for saints. You know what? If you love God, think about this now. I want this one to really hit home. If you love God, You must love what God loves. And does that make sense? If you love God, you're going to love what God loves. Why do you think I'm a Browns fan? Because my father loved the Browns. My father loved the Browns, so I love the Browns. My father loved ribs, so I love ribs. My father loved the Indians, so I love the Indians. Now, some things my father loved that I can't love no more. Bless his heart. But if you love God, I'm making sense. If you love God, you must love what God loves most. And you know what that is? People! For God so loved the world. Y'all knew I was going to get y'all John 3:16. How could I not? We had come this far. Okay? Y'all think of me years from now, I'll be gone. And Caleb, Pastor Neil loved John 3:16. He said every sermon. You know? But God so loved the world. That he what? That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You tell me you love God and don't love people. You'd be like the preacher. I love being a pastor. One for the people would be a great job. Listen. Don't laugh at me, Elmer. Trying to get you home for Thanksgiving. You know, listen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making me fit for heaven. I like that one. I like that one. You know what? God had to make Paul fit for heaven. You just can't go to heaven on your own terms. God had to do a work in Paul. This is good. Paul had to do a work. God had to do a work in Paul. Listen what he says. And I get that verse from Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks. Here's our word. Here's our word. Our Thanksgiving word. Giving thanks unto God. When you're around the table today, you're around the table today, somebody says, what are you thankful for? I thank God. Alright? For giving me a new heart. Okay? Rooted and grounded in love. I thank God for inner strength to battle these devils and these demons and all that I'm up against. I thank God. I thank God. Watch this. For giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. How about that? But David, King David, out there running, out there in trouble. Knew God loved him. Look what he said in Psalm 69:14. Paul, David says this, deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. Paul, like David, like any saint of God, has to be made fit for heaven. Okay? All of us come in this world in sin, born with a sin nature. David would say, in my mother's womb, I was conceived in sin. David knew he had to be born again. He knew he needed a new heart. That's why he said to the Lord, purge me, O Lord, and create a clean heart in me. David knew. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. He says this, he's talking about this new heart. He's talking about this new heart. He's talking about this inner strength. He's talking about being made fit for heaven. And watch this. This is a good verse, and y'all, I've taught on it, and we've quoted it so many times. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Now, the last verse is so important. So I'm going to read the first verses 9. It says, Now ye know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's a question mark there. Stop there. You know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And I always say, he put that there first, but some of y'all might not find y'all sin in the rest of this. But know this, if you ain't born again, if you ain't saved, you're unrighteous. Okay? If you're not saved, you're not right with God. Unrighteous means not right with God. So if you're not saved, you're not right with God. So if you're not right with God, you cannot inherit. Man, this ain't real deep. Listen, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Don't let these folks trick you into believing you can go to heaven with an unrighteous lifestyle. Know ye not, be not deceived. There's a lot of tricksters out there letting you know everybody going to heaven. The wide world. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. You know, it's like the guy at the airport. Come on in. Everybody coming into heaven. No, it don't work like that. Be not deceived. Watch this now. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, thank you, Lord, for putting the word in my life. See this? See, we all, you know, W-E-R-E. That's a big word. That's a big word, Claire, ain't it? That's a big word. That word, that's huge. All caps, you know. And such were some of you. And such were, past tense, some of you. Now watch what God do. This is what we want to be thankful for. Lord, thank you. Thank you for doing this. This is the big three. You can't get to heaven without being washed. You got to purify us. God purified us, but you are washed. I like that. Washed. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. How about that? God, before God can justify us and sanctify us, He's going to wash us. Okay? Purify us. Sprinkle our evil hearts and make them right with God. Watch this now. And such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were sanctified. How about that? That was a good word, sanctified. We in a process. You know, we don't get it all at once. You know, we still growing now. And this is where some folks get it all wrong. We think, as soon as you come to the Lord, you got it all together instantly. Let me tell you something. Don't work like that. We are constantly being sanctified. We in a process. Ain't none of us got it all together. Some folks do. Some folks think they got it all together. Okay? We don't. I hear they hope they listen to me out in radio land. We don't have it all together. We're working on it. Ain't nobody in this church got it all together. That's why the preacher say, you know what? Pastor would be a great job. One for the people. You know? Because you're dealing with folks that don't have it all together. And I don't know when y'all not having it all together going to show up. Okay? Y'all not having it all together may show up any time. Okay? But if we love God, and this is why it's important that the love of God dwell in our heart, because you don't know when somebody is not all having it all together going to show up in your life. Am I making sense? Okay? And you don't want that person not having it all together to show up in your life and then discredit your work or your ministry or give God a bad name because you let some person who's having a bad day contaminate your witness. See? This is why we need strength in the inner man. And we be sitting there all the time paying attention to what's going on because that person not having it all together, and it might be me. Okay? It might be me showing up on a day not having it all together. And see, there's a whole lot of folks don't come to church no more because folks up here had too many bad days. Okay? Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, before you get high and mighty, Paul said, before you get thinking you all that, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are, here's our word, justified. Justified. Just as if you had never sinned. God justifies us. Okay? In the name of of Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our love. How about that? You know that's a big word. And such were some of you. Watch this now. Ephesians 2:1. And you have been quickened. Now, this is where we was at now. I got to keep reminding folks of this. Because some folks think they got it all together. And you have he quickened who were, that's our word, dead in trespasses and sins. That means we were under control of it. We was under the control of sins and iniquity. That we long for it. You know, you talk to unsaved folks, and if they ain't cussed nobody out, they ain't had a good day.
They ain't sin. Well, I ain't sinned enough. Really what they saying, I hear people all the time, you know, it's so boring. You know, it's so boring. Listen, what they saying is, I need to sin. I need to cut some folks out. I need to do something. I need to steal something. I need to lie on somebody. I mean, let me get on social media. Let's say something crazy. Get a response. Some folks just need it. And just like the believer needs to be fed the word of God, an unbeliever needs to be fed the word of Satan. Y'all think I'm just being serious? That's just the truth. There ain't no middle ground. All right. And the Steelers come on tonight, and the Colts. I'm not cheering for the Steelers. I don't care who they're playing. It's just the way it is. Care who they line up, I'm going against them. Listen, yeah, I'm honest. Listen, Ephesians 5 and 8. And you who were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. You're light in the Lord. If you're saved, you're light in the Lord. What do you mean? People watching you. You're light in the Lord. What he said? Walk as children of light. You know? Walk as children of light. Let your lifestyle, your behavior, and your conversation be that of children of light. We represent. Colossians 3:7. I'll keep going. In the which you also walk sometime when you live in them. Have you been washed? Thank you, Lord. It's a Thanksgiving Day. Your Thanksgiving Day prayer, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for giving me inner strength. Thank you for making me fit for heaven. Thank you for washing me. Thank you for sanctifying me. Thank you for justifying me. Thank you, Lord, because I was dead in trespass and sin. I was sometimes in darkness, and you, Father, you just blessed me. Amen. You worked in my heart. You worked in my life. And now I can stand and say, thank you, Lord, on this Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I guess the question, are you sanctified? How about that? Sanctification. Justification is going to produce some stuff. You know, you tell me you're sanctified. Don't tell me you're sanctified. Don't tell me you've been washed. Don't tell me you've been justified. Is there no humility? Is there no gratitude? Is there no deep sense that God is sovereign and providential? Don't tell me you can't be sanctified, justified, and washed if you don't have a sense that God is watching everything. Amen. He's over everything. There's not a deep sense of gratitude. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I may not have a father, but God, you blessed me with a great family. You blessed me with great aunts and aunties and grandparents that are full of grace and mercy and love. Thank you, Lord. I'm grateful. I'm not ungrateful. I'm not ungrateful. He washed me. He sanctified me. He justified me. Listen, we get to the end. I know y'all got turkeys in the oven and all that. And y'all ain't going to be calling me talking about Pastor was long and burnt my turkey up. Listen, thank the Lord for the power of the Holy Spirit. How about that? This is what Paul is saying in this text. Paul gets to it in this text. Let me read this because it just jumps out at me. Paul's thanking God for the power of God, the Spirit of God. And what does the Spirit of God do? Before I even read, the Spirit of God confronts us. You know, Paul's saying, thank you, Lord, for confronting me. Thank you for when I was on my way to Damascus, ready to kill some more Christians, that you confronted me, that you blinded me, knocked me off my horse, and then saved my soul. Paul was thankful for that, because that's what the Holy Ghost do. The Holy Ghost is designed to confront you and to challenge you and to call you out. I thank God I was called out. Some of y'all know my testimony. And listen, let me tell you something. Cindy and I wasn't getting along. Okay? We were going through. She was acting crazy. Y'all know that's a lie. Then I'm doing my thing. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. Then I went to a brother's funeral that I didn't know. His father was a man of God, and he celebrated his death, and then the preacher just took shots at people. That's what I thought. What are you talking about? What kind of man are you? I know what kind of man I am. I hear, what kind of man are you? And it's just like I just... But it's good. God is good. I thank God for the Holy Spirit confronting me. Because I was able to
give me restoration in my home and my marriage. And you know what? God is good. See, we don't like being confronted. Well, that's all pastor they don't do is confront. All this piece of text. Don't argue with me. I'm arguing with church. I'm trying to get in your faith like God got in mine. I'm trying to call you out like God called me out. That's what God, that's what preachers do. That's why they get their heads cut off. That's why everybody in the Bible, everybody in the book is dead. They got martyred. They got killed because they called folk out. So we got a different Christianity today. Ain't nobody calling nobody out. Nobody called nobody out. You know? Like the preacher told me, you know, man, you can't be preaching against fornication. All my women in here are sexy. Really? And I preached it anyway, and the women came up to me afterwards. Thank you, Lord. I needed to hear that. Well, the Holy Spirit. John 16:7. I'm supposed to give you Ephesians 3. Let me give you Ephesians 3. Let me give you this text. So I'm gonna give it to you. Watch this now. I'm in verse 16. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to his riches, according to the riches of his glory. Now I looked up that word grant. No, see, y'all college folks, y'all done dealt with grants before. They ain't gonna just send you no grant. What you gotta do? Somebody said it. Y'all smart in here. This ain't rocket science. This ain't real deep. You're not gonna get nothing from God if you don't apply for it or ask them for it. Some of you sitting here now struggling with your grades, struggling with your life, struggling, and you don't want to struggle, but you're too proud to ask God that he would grant you, that you would say, God, listen, I can't deal with this. I don't know what's going on. I don't have a clue. But you're too proud to get down on your knees and say, Lord, grant me the strength that I need to deal with this or to deal with that or to go to the next level or to understand what's going on in my life. God is good. No, I know that. Watch what he says. That he would grant you, okay? Verse 16, according to the riches of his glory. How rich is his glory? How rich is his glory? Who is this king? He's the what? The king of glory. He's the king of glory. Now, if you had access to the man who had all the glory, he got all the glory. And all he's saying is, and Paul's saying to these folks, you know, don't be so proud and so arrogant that you can't ask God to grant you according to the riches of his glory. Man, that's interesting. Now, but let's keep going. To be strengthened with might by his spirit. His spirit in the inner man. But you know what the spirit going to do? Jesus speaking here in John 16. I'm about to close. Nevertheless, 16:7, John. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. That's all he could. He had to say it. So he could tell, oh, he was truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he said, but I'll tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. So I'll tell you the truth. You know what? He had his naysayers too. So I'll tell you the truth. It is expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto me, unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Send him and talk to him. And when he has come, he, in the masculine again, he will reprove the world of sin. What are you going to do? But if I depart, I will send him. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment and of sin because they believe not me. Lord, thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for reproving me. Thank you for reproving me. I hear you. Amen. Amen. Listen. Last one. Thank you, Lord. Here's Paul. He's pleading with these folks.
This is his church. This is his people he loved now. This is not people he loved these folks. He wanted them to get it right. So Paul says in verse 18, here's his last appeal in this. He says this. That they may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of God which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Let's talk about that word comprehend. I'm going to let y'all go. That means to understand. That Paul wanted his people to understand. Now remember, Paul was smart. Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He was easily the smartest man of the day. Or one of them. And you know what God did? Y'all think God don't have a sense of humor? He called Paul. He said, Paul, you know what I'll make you? The apostle of the Gentiles. So Paul had to teach some unlearned folks. Okay? He's talking about the kiss theory. Keep it simple, stupid. Paul was the master of that. Because he was dealing with folks that really didn't have. Paul could have spoke way over their heads. But he had to bring it all the way down. And he wanted them to understand. And if I could press anything with these two ministers here, when you teach it in a way that folks can understand. Because if they don't understand, they ain't getting nothing out of it. They might well just not even come to church. And a lot of folks stop coming because it's just not practical. It's not relevant. It's just so folks just can't understand it. Paul says, I want my people to understand. So this is your prayer. If you understand, thank you, Lord, for giving me the ability to understand.
Amen.
What is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height? And this is a good one here. And to know the love of God. Everybody don't know the love of God. That's why we preach it so much here. Preach the love of God. That's the love of God. John 3:16. I just love it. That's the love of God. You want to know what the love of God is? That's the love of God. Okay? You want to know what the gospel is? The gospel is Jesus what? Died for our sins and rose from the grave. That's how simple can it be? Somebody said, well, I don't understand the gospel. Jesus, here's the gospel. Jesus died for our sins and rose from the grave. That's simple. You know, people are like, you know, you got, I got to talk about dispensationalism, hermeneutic, homiletic. Okay? Listen. Let me close this out. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, watch this now, according to the power that works in us. Let me tell you something. You get the Holy Spirit, you got your connection. Okay? See, we sing the song, Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. But you know what? If you call somebody whose phone been turned off, you're not going to get through. Jesus is saying, he's saying that you have the power in you, you have the Holy Spirit in you. God has given you a new heart and a new spirit. That is giving you, designed for you to connect with God. It's not designed for you to connect with the world. You don't need a new heart and new spirit to connect with the world. All will work fine. You need a new heart and a new spirit. If you say you got it, then you can connect. You can ask him whatever you want, and he will grant it. I like that verse. He said, he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. All right, how about your Thanksgiving Day prayer now? You all ready? You're getting around in a circle today at home. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for changing me. Thank you, Lord, I'm not the man that I used to be. I'm not the man that I one day will become. I know I'm not the man I used to be. Then you say, Lord, thank you for that inner strength. Inner strength. Because it's tough out here. And I thank you, Lord, for the inner strength that you've given me. Then you get to the next appeal and you say, Lord, thank you for the love of God dwelling in my heart. See, the Bible says that Lot dwelled in the plains of Sodom. Okay? What happened? He became like Sodom. Sooner or later, next thing you know, he moved into Sodom. And then he was working at the gates of Sodom. And then when all hell broke out in his life, and the angels came, and everybody listening to you? You're a crazy man. See, we get too close to sin. Get too close. Get comfortable. And then we become like that.
But see, God says that the believers have been rooted in and grounded in grace and mercy and love. I like that. That's like that. Thank you, Lord, for making me fit for heaven. Thank you, Lord, for making me fit for heaven. Because before you came into my life, I was just one heartbeat away from spending all eternity in hell. But God, who's rich in mercy, He washed me, He sanctified me, He justified me. And now I can, instead of being a mess, I'm a message. How about that? He turned me from a mess to a message. Everybody here is saved. You was once a mess. And now you ought to have a message. If you don't have no message, you can't have a message without having a mess. You can't spell message without mess. Well, y'all know I could keep going, but I'm not. I want y'all to just get it on Thanksgiving. When you light up, you pray, ask God, thank you. Now, ain't nothing wrong with it. I thank God for my wife. 34, 35, I don't know how many years now. Once you get over 30, we just like in cruise control. But I thank God for my wife. I got a good one. God gave me a good one, and I thank God for, you know. Yeah, I'm like, I think I can love nobody else now. Deacon Oliver like that. He like when I bring out them oldies.